Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Second Chronicles, where you want to turn this morning. I want you this morning to be encouraged. Man, we're in March now. It's going to be the 13th of March next week. And then the week after that, what is 13 and 7? I don't know, the 20th of March. And then it's going to keep, and we're going to keep getting closer and closer to spring. May is going to come. And well, how's that poem go? May flowers, May showers bring June flowers? Yeah. Now, the Uper version, May showers bring June flowers. That's the Uper version, all right? Quit trying to correct me at everything I do. The Phil Michigan campaign is going great. We've been hearing testimonies from all over the state, people getting born again. We won again. Week three, we won. Week four is closing off today. We probably won't know who won until towards the end of the week. But nearly 25,000 tracts, just under 25,000 tracts were handed out. Everybody upped their game last week, all the way around. And then finally, the Southeast Michigan, call themselves the Wolverines, they finally clocked in. And then we clocked in right after that. They upped their numbers by 1,000. So did we. So we won again on week three. One more week, it's almost done. I'm not really sure how that's going to go, but it does encourage me to see people handing out tracts everywhere and at every turn. Last week, the UPS guy got several tracts. The FedEx guy got several tracts right here in the church grounds. Kids from the school. Here you go. UP Freightliner guy, he got a gospel tract. That's good. Everybody's kind of getting in the habit of it. Let's not get out of step just because the contest is done. Some of you found out it's not that hard to do. So just keep the tracts with you. Keep them on your person. Hand them out every chance you can. God is going to use you. Thank you, all you ladies that did so much work behind the scenes in preparation for the Ladies' Day yesterday. It was truly blessed of God. Thank you, men that manned the kitchens and surrounded the tables down there and waited on some of the cleanup crew. Everybody worked real hard. It got cleaned up real fast afterwards. I believe that God greatly blessed. And I would just want to say from the pulpit before I start preaching here out of Second Chronicles, great job done. Okay, stand with me, please. I'm going to read a couple of verses. Second Chronicles. I'd like to read verse in chapter 25. I'm preaching out of 26, but in chapter 25, I'd like to read verse 2, and then verses 25 through 28. This is concerning Amaziah, the father of King Uzziah, all right? Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. I remember preaching this on this guy. Not with a whole heart. There are a lot of people that serve God, but not with a whole heart. Look at verse 25, same chapter. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, the king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? Now after that time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, and they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there, and they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. I am going to attempt to exegete and explain chapter 26. God, would you help me this morning keep everything concise and clear? And Father, I pray that all of us would be challenged by the life of Uzziah this morning and say, man, we don't want to do what he did. And Lord, may we honor you by serving you not only with our whole heart, but God, help us to finish well. We need that in this day and age in which we're living. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Remember when you first got saved. Remember how good God was to you. Remember, every day was sweeter than the day before because you were walking with God. Do you remember before you got saved how empty you were on the inside? how your family was struggling and looking in multiple directions for answers. Oh, how God has blessed you. I remember the old preacher saying, I started out with nothing and I still have most of it. That really is not true. Not for the child of God. I'm not telling you, when I'm preaching this morning, I'm not telling you this is how you're going to get rich. I'm not saying this is how you're going to get rich. That is not the message this morning. But I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. We're going to read about a king of Judah named Uzziah. And he followed in his father's footsteps. We just read about Amaziah, who did not have a perfect heart, did not wholly give himself to God. Now we're going to read about a king who has great blessings in his life, but he doesn't finish well. Does that sound familiar? How many churches I know of, and probably you know of if you've been saved for any length of time, man, they used to be on fire for God. They used to be striking blows for the cause of Christ every single week for the cause of Christ in this state or in this country in which we live. And incrementally, they drifted away from God, and they no longer have the power of God. How many families I know where the leader in that home and the family knew the blessing of God? They'd sit around the tables, they'd say grace, they'd read their Bible together, God would speak to them, and their family was growing and glowing for the cause of Christ, and they're no longer serving God. I know a lot of people that are blessed of God, and they don't finish well. I wrote this down, and I'm going to end with it here this morning. It's like this is the pattern. Doesn't have to be. Does not have to be. But this is the pattern all too often. We start with nothing. That's humility. We get born again. We get blessed over the top. And then we break fellowship with God. For whatever reason, we abandon Him. For whatever reason, we betray Him. And then we end with nothing. We start with nothing. We get born again, blessed over the top, break fellowship, and end with nothing. And I submit to you, family of God, it doesn't have to be that way. That is not what God designs for your life. God wants you, listen, to finish well. Let's read this morning of the life of Uzziah, and I pray it'll convict you. I pray that somehow God will get, something happens to Baptist churches where they start out with nothing and skinny tires on the bus and nobody has matching clothes and they just barely live from offering to offering. And then God starts to bless them and they get fancy and they forget God. They get fancy and they no longer pray. Then they stop coming on Wednesday night. Then they stop coming on Sunday night. Don't need God anymore. And they wouldn't say they're abandoning Him. And here's a word of warning. You're going to end up with nothing. Finish well. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father above, in whom is no variableness. Understand all the blessings of God in your life. If you are honest, you'll look in your rearview mirror and you'll say, man, God has been good to me since the day I received Christ as my Savior. Don't turn your back on Him now. Verse 1, chapter 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah. Now Uzziah is the 9th king of Israel. He sits on the throne. He receives the crown at 16 years of age, and he reigns for 52 years. He dies at 78 in shame and in rebellion. We're going to read in chapter 26 of the blessings of God, and then it all comes crashing down. It's almost like he lives two different lives, two seasons of life. The first part of his life, maybe the majority of his life, he lives in godliness and blessings. And then something happens. It isn't a single act of rebellion. It is a direction. And he ends in disobedience and pride and then dies of leprosy. The great king of Judah dies with leprosy and in shame all by himself in a house separated from his family, separated from the throne, separated from the blessings of God. And that is not what God desired. I'm not preaching you're going to get leprosy or you're going to get cancer. I don't know that. I don't know the will of God for your life, but I do know this. This man fell away from God incrementally. Nobody just up and falls into deep sin. He started, you're going to go in the direction your feet are pointed. If you're pointed to the world, that's where you're going to end up. If your loves and your treasures are all the things of this life and your feet are pointed there, even though you're not there yet, your feet are pointed there, that's your direction. That is where you're going to go. Verse 1, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, he was 16 years old, made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his father. So what we're going to read here is this man successfully, this king, this new king, successfully defends Judah against the Ammonites, the Philistines, and the Arabians. He builds a strong standing army, rebuilt the fortress cities. He promoted commerce. He was a farmer. He loved husbandry. And in every direction, Judah was being blessed. And he was devoted to God. And because he was devoted to God, God blessed him. Verse 3, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. By the way, he's the son of Amaziah. Where did he learn to fall away from God? Here is a great motivator to stand for God and to finish well. Your children are following you. You say, oh man, they've strayed. They're watching you. You must finish well. Your little guys, your little girls, they're watching you. You must finish well. Heaven knows there's a lot of people that desert. Heaven knows there's a lot of people that go AWOL on God and turn their back on God. The devil's got his trophies. Someone has got to finish well. If every other church in the state gets soft, every other church in the state stops with evangelism, every other church in the state stops with the altar call and stops bringing people to Christ during the week, someone has got to finish well. Now, I'm not painting a black picture. Every other church in the state is not turning their back on God. Don't think that. But sometimes the devil tells us that. Let's read on here. Verse 4, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. So he did learn some good things from his father. Uzziah has a good start. We're going to read in these next several verses, this guy has it going all in the right direction. Here is a king that God raised up for the nation Judah, and everything is happening. God, the right smack dab in the center of God's blessing for Judah. Verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. So he listened, by the way, to the spiritual authority, the prophet. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Wake up and face reality. As long as we honor God, God is going to bless us. If we turn our back on God, it won't be long. It won't be. There's pleasure in sin for a season. It won't be long, and it'll all come crashing down. Man, wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and face the cold reality of life. We've got a good king in heaven who has redeemed us, sent the best that heaven had in his son, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us, provided salvation, and all the righteousness we need to go to heaven. And all we got to do is surrender to him. All we got to do is repent of our sin, and he saves us. And he gives us his righteousness. And then he says, follow me. Let me be your shepherd. Let me direct in your life. Don't be looking to the world. Don't let your loves be in the world. You follow me, and I will bless you every step of the way, good times and bad, deep water, shallow water, it matters not, storm or no storm, fire or no fire, I'll be your shepherd. I'll guide you every step of the way, and you'll have the blessings of God. Good King Uzziah. What a great start. Let's read on. And he went forth. I circled the word sought God, those words in verse 5, and then the latter part of the verse, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God, here, circle this, helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians and dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehamins. And that's all southeast of Judah. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. That's tribute. Gifts to Uzziah. And his name, that's fame, spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Everything's going good, man. It's going in the right direction. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. What is it about humankind? What is it about men? As soon as we start getting blessed of God, we start thinking, I got it now. I know what to do, God. I don't need a, no time in prayer. I know what to do. I don't need you, God. Just kind of following behind me. I'll take care of this one. And it isn't long, and we've drifted far from God. Let's read on. Verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers, military towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells. That's prosperity. And he had much cattle, both in the low country, the lowlands, and in the plains. Husbandmen also, these are farmers, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. So he was a farmer at heart. He's making major improvements to Judah. Great fortifications, great farms, great ranches, great vineyards. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men. Peace through strength. Amen. Man, I see that everywhere in the Word of God. Peace. We had a great president in the United States named Ronald Reagan. And it wasn't new with him. But he kind of coined the phrase for modern America. Peace through strength. The bigger and the stronger, the more visible the presence of God. There's a challenge for the Church of Jesus Christ. The bigger and the stronger and the more holy, the more visible the presence of God in a pagan culture. I'm all for building Fundamental Baptist Church. I'm all for growing the family of God. I'm all for proving all the naysayers wrong that a church of 1,000, they say a church of 1,000 can't be built in the Upper Peninsula. After all, it's a rural area. After all, there's not a lot of money up here. I'm all for proving them wrong. And I want the whole world, I especially want the Upper Peninsula to know that there's a God in heaven. And he answers prayers and he loves his people and he's building his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe of Maaseiah, the ruler under the hand of Hananiah and one of the king's captains. He became a big man. Unfortunately, he became big in his own eyes. And the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. So he had 2,600 officers in his military. And under their hand was an army of 300,000 and 7,500. 307,500 valiant men that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. They had advanced weaponry, full armor. This was a military to be feared. And he made in Jerusalem engines. That's machines. That's catapults. That's everything from a crossbow to a catapult and everything in between. And invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. And then I circled the word till he was strong. What happens to us? Why do we get fancy and start trusting ourselves? He was helped of God till he got strong. Now, it wasn't the fact that he got strong. It was the fact that he started trusting his weaponry and his husbandry and his great men that were around him. And he stopped trusting God. Read the very next verse. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Before he has a poor finish, before I get there, let me review. There is a seduction that comes with success. There is a pull towards prosperity. There is what the Bible calls the pride of life. I've seen it 1,000 times. I've seen it lived out in individuals. I've seen it lived out in families and then extended families. I've seen it lived out in churches. There's something that happens when man, God blesses. The success comes from God. And he blesses us. And something happens where we just get full of ourselves. Pride is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. And we forget what we were and what God has done for us every step of the way. And for some reason, we start to love the blessings more than the blesser. We start to count on our what our own hands can accomplish instead of the great God of heaven. Man, we're all capable of that same sin. That's why the prophet Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. There's that pull of prosperity. Man, there's that pride of life. We finally get something. We're a people that had nothing, and we finally get something because we're honoring God. God blesses his children. God loves his children. And we finally get something in our hands, and we forget God. And we stop being faithful. And we're strong. We were blessed of God until we got strong. Here's the truth of the matter. Not many people can handle prosperity. Not many men, not many women. Because we pierce our souls through with that love of gain, that love of money. That's what the Apostle Paul said. And all of a sudden, somehow, it happened to kings of Israel. It happened to prophets of old. It happens to preachers. It happens to lay people. It happens to missionaries. It happens to all of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've got to guard our heart. And if God blesses you and he puts more on your plate, the plate belongs to God.
Yeah, right.
Just be that channel. Yeah. Say, okay, God, what do you want done with this? I'm yours, man. I'm all in. I want to finish well. Let's go back again to 2 Chronicles in chapter 26. And let's look at verse 16. Let me read through the latter part of this passage, and I trust it'll ring true. This is a picture of the Christian who has everything and lost it all. Not in a single act of rebellion, but in incremental steps where their love for God had grown cold. And they got their eyes off of God. And before long, there's nothing wrong with having things. Nothing wrong with owning things. But when things own you, that's the problem. Look what it says here, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed, he sinned against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He wasn't supposed to do that, by the way, but he's the king of Israel. Man, he knows everything. Everything he touches turns to gold. Man, look at all this, the old Nebuchadnezzar thing. Look at all this kingdom. Look what I've done. Verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, a godly man, and went with him 80 priests, 80 priests of God, valiant men. Priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they confronted him, and they withstood the king. They withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests and the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed or sinned. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. In other words, you have broken the commands of God, king. Remember what it says in Exodus in chapter 30 and verses 7 and 8? The sons of Aaron are to burn incense. What are you doing here? Then Uzziah was angry. He was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. He's mad at the priest. He's mad at these valiant sons of Aaron. King, you're doing wrong. You're not to be burning that incense. That's a beautiful picture of the sacrifice and our prayers and what God has done, is doing for Israel. And now you've superseded the will of God. And he has the censer in his hand and he's mad. He's mad at the priests and the sons of Aaron. And God judges him right away.
Yeah.
Let's read on. Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord and from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead Great fall. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. He couldn't get out of there fast enough. God had chastised him. All of a sudden, he's not a big shot anymore. He's a leper. Unclean. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several or separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. And by the way, that's when Isaiah 6 takes place, and the prophet Isaiah gets that mighty vision from God of the holiness of God. It's beautiful how that all fits together. He was separated. I'm talking about King Uzziah because of his pride, because he got too big for his own britches. He was separated from God, separated from his family, separated from blessings, separated from the throne, because he got too big for his own britches. Now, I'm not exactly sure who this message is meant for here this morning. I know it's meant for me. I know that for a fact. If we get too big for our britches, we get pride, that pride of life. We don't handle prosperity well. We don't handle success well. Then everything's going to come crashing down. God's going to take his hand off of the ministry, write Ichabod over the ministry, and it's all going to end. But listen, it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. That's why we have this on record. It is a solemn warning to every New Testament Christian. It's a solemn warning to every New Testament local church and to the family of God. That, man, you don't have to have pride enter into your heart. You can handle success right. And thank God, as it goes into with the Sunday school lesson this morning, for the thorn in the flesh that keeps you surrendered to God. That is a good thing. Remember the pattern? Start out with nothing. Get born again. Remember how empty you used to be? Get born again. B, blessings over the top. B, break fellowship with God. B, and you end up with nothing. Don't abandon God. If God has blessed you, don't stop loving the blesser.
That's right.
Let the blessings be used of God. Hallelujah. Everything he gives you, just use it for the glory of God. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Boy, there's a whole lot more that can be preached, but I'm out of time. Don't fall into that pattern. You say, oh, I'm the exception. No, you're not. No, you're not. We're all capable. Be humble before God. If you're here and you're hoping you're saved, you might not be saved. So you're just trying to scare. No, I don't want you to go to hell. It's real simple. It's a heart cry to God. You've got to make sure you've done that. There must be a time and a place where you are born again, where you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So if you're here and you're not sure, or you're listening or watching by way of live stream, listening to a radio broadcast, and you're not sure, you need to bow your head right now. So let's pray one more time. And this is an appeal. This is for anyone who does not know they're saved. Dear God, just pray like this in your heart. I need salvation. I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me. Come into my life and come into my heart. And save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm trusting you alone for heaven. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Anybody else? You say, I prayed today. I received Christ today. If you're watching by way of live stream and today you prayed and received Christ, tell somebody about it. You got to tell somebody about it. You call us, we'll help you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.